one. Afterwards, Jesus appears again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "Yet you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is a disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hello again. I genuinely do bring you the greetings and prayers of the Eastern Baptist Association. As you will see if you read the letter that Gilson has printed off, the part of what we do is we tell our association where the regional team are and invite people to be praying for those churches. They're probably really going to need it. The fact that we're here today, you need their prayers. Just to reassure you that we're delighted that you're part of this family, and delighted that Jenia is one of our trustees within the association. And in case you didn't know, the reason that she's not here this morning isn't because I'm here. Well, I suppose it is partly because I'm here. At Salem Baptist Church in Romford, they're inducting a new minister. And I would love to have been there, but I'd already committed to coming here. So I asked if one of our trustees would be willing to go, and Jenia said, yes, I'll go in your place. So Jenia is representing the association at Salem Baptist Church in Romford today, so that I can be here. Can we put the image up? Thank you. Whoops, let's go back. How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb? Well, there's different breeds have got different answers. A Dachshund would say, well, you know I can't reach the lamp. A Rottweiler, make me. How many German Shepherds does it take to change a light bulb? Nobody touches the light bulb. How many Labradors? Oh, me, please let me, I'll do it. If you got a Labrador, you'll know what that's all about. If you ask a cat about light bulb changing, this is what a cat will answer. Dogs do not change light bulbs. People change light bulbs. The real question is, how long will it be before I can expect some more light, some dinner, and get some attention? This time of year, we make New Year's resolutions, don't we? And they're all about change. Being better, being fitter, doing different things with our money, being happier, all those sorts of things. Some of us relish change. Others, probably most of us, I guess, quite like the way things are. We don't enjoy change. We like our comfort zone. And we don't like not being in control. And I think that that might be why so many New Year's resolutions fail, usually by about now. But the Bible is also full of fresh starts and full of change. It's one of the major themes that runs throughout the whole of the Bible. It starts with change in Genesis, doesn't it? In the beginning, nothing except for God. And then God says, let there be light, and it all comes from there. God imagines the universe into being. And that theme of change goes right the way through the Bible until the closing chapter, when God says, I am making everything new. More change. And throughout the Bible, God invites people to make fresh starts. If we pick out a few familiar events, you'll see what I mean. Noah, for example, minding his own business when God says, I've got a job for you. I'm going to do a complete system reboot of the world, and you're going to need to build a boat in the middle of a desert to carry out a massive conservation project. Abraham. Oh, he was quite happy at home in Ur when God said to him, I've got a fresh start for you, and it's going to involve you traveling right the way around the whole of the Persian Gulf and ending up somewhere where I'm not going to tell you where it is yet. And poor old Abraham has to up sticks from modern-day Iraq, head off across through Syria, down into the Promised Land, into Israel. Moses, one of the spiritual superheroes in the Bible, offered a fresh start after he'd killed a man in the wilderness when God met him at the burning bush. Whoops, wrong one. And then you get into the New Testament. Fresh starts. We've just celebrated Christmas, which is all about God's new beginning, the start of his new covenant. And the most notable fresh start in all of time is Jesus' resurrection. When all seemed dead and Christ was raised to new life. The ultimate fresh start, if you like. And then there are so many new fresh starts in the New Testament as well. And one of them we've been looking at this morning is breakfast on the beach with Jesus in John chapter 21. Fresh starts can be good news if you've made a mistake. Most computer games nowadays have a reset button. If you're doing badly, you just press reset or start and you go back to the beginning and nothing's gone wrong. You're back to the beginning. Wonderful. Most computers nowadays have a system reset function so that if all crashes, it can be restored to a place in the past when everything was fine. But that's not what God's fresh starts are like. It's not that when we pray and ask for forgiveness, God presses the system restore button. God's fresh starts are so much more than that. He doesn't just take you back to how it was. He takes you to a new place. Not denying the past, but enabling us to face the future in a different way. We might need to sort out some of the past. We might need to ask for forgiveness from others. We might need to repair damage that we've caused. But we have a new future because we have received a fresh start from God. We no longer need to wallow in self-pity and guilt. Fresh starts with God can be a little scary. That's what the people we just talked about experienced. They left the familiar things. They had to do something unusual, something extraordinary. And we have to admit, when we ask for God for a fresh start, that we need a fresh start. We need a new beginning because we've gone wrong. But when we do, we find ourselves encountering the unexpected, stepping into the unknown, in Peter's case, even jumping out of a boat. Fresh starts with God can be opportunities as well for us to learn and grow in our faith, to have new experiences as we begin afresh with him. Fresh starts aren't just about saying sorry. They start there. But that's only the beginning of the fresh start. God may then ask us to do something new, something different. Perhaps he asks us to do things differently so that we don't repeat that mistake. With all that in mind, this morning I'd like us to explore John chapter 21, when Jesus offers fresh starts. And even though I've just been talking about fresh starts, I wanted to say right at the outset of this part that this passage, John chapter 21, isn't about fresh starts. It's about Jesus. First and foremost, this is a passage about Jesus. But Jesus offering fresh starts to his friends. The Jesus who also offers them to us. The passage opens with a fascinating scene, doesn't it? You've got this motley crew of friends who decide to go fishing, been out all night, caught nothing, cold, miserable, damp, they're making their way back to the shore. And there on the shoreline is this stranger. Perhaps it's a bit misty, they can't see who he is. And he says, oh, you caught anything? No, they say, kind of grudgingly. I suspect there was an edge of disappointment, or maybe even bitterness in their reply. But the stranger ignores the tone and suggests, why don't you try one more time on the right-hand side of the boat? Maybe some of them remember Jesus having told them to do that once before. Whatever the reason, they give it a go and catch 153 fish. And don't you want to know which one counted them? Jesus transforms that moment. But what I find fascinating is that he's there on the shore waiting for them. And Jesus is waiting for you too. He's waiting for me. He was waiting for the disciples to come back in and suggests, have another go. And maybe you're dispirited, discouraged, disappointed, perhaps with church, perhaps with God himself. Jesus is waiting on the shoreline for you to come in with all your disappointment and say, have another go. Give it one more try. I'm not promising you a massive fishing catch at the end of it, but an opportunity to renew your relationship with Jesus. Because after this fishing catch, they then had breakfast on the beach. Jesus had already got some fish. They're already being barbecued on the beach. But more than breakfast happened on the beach that morning. As well as providing them with a fire to warm themselves, and Peter needed certainly warming up after jumping in the water, hot food to renew their strength, Jesus also offered them an opportunity to meet with him again. Hospitable, welcoming, inviting, caring. And that's how he still is today. And that's how he wants us to be to others. Today, through us, Jesus wants to be hospitable and welcoming and caring and be renewing others. Churches like this are a place for that to happen, for an encounter with Jesus. And if you use your imagination for a moment and think about the people you will be meeting this week, which of them need, at least metaphorically speaking, for you to cook them breakfast? To bless them, to nourish them, to provide an encounter with Jesus. Jesus took time to reinstate Peter in the middle of all this, didn't he? Peter, who promised so much, consistently promised so much, but this time he had not so much under-delivered as completely failed to deliver. Jesus, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And by the time the cock crowed, he'd done it three times. I don't know the man. And then when he realized what he'd done, he went out and wept bitterly. And three times here, Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to reaffirm his love for him. I'm not going to go too much into that or offer any amateur psychology except to say that there's a balance there, isn't there? Jesus allows him to reaffirm what he failed to do the first time. But the point I want to make here is that Jesus doesn't write anyone off as failures. He took the time necessary to help Peter work through the guilt that he felt, the shame that he felt, but he refused to write him off. Nowadays in our culture, if somebody in the public eye makes a mistake, immediately the press slams them and we demand their resignation. If Peter had been in the public eye today, you can imagine the headlines in the Jerusalem press. Prominent disciple fails. Jesus doesn't see it like that. Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? And Jesus has not written you off either. Even if you think others have given up on you, even if you've given up on yourself, Jesus has not given up on you. Because, like the catchphrase for a well-known brand of cosmetics, you're worth it. He made you, he loves you, you're worth dying for, and he offers you a fresh start. That fresh start begins with that question, do you love me? Because if you love Jesus, the fresh start is always available. Jesus gave Peter that fresh start, and it wasn't just forgiveness, and it wasn't just reinstatement. Okay, Peter, you're back in amongst all the disciples. He then gave him new opportunities to serve him. A new commission, a new task, a new role. Actually, the one who was going to lead this fledgling church once Jesus returned to heaven. And when Jesus offers us a fresh start, not only is it a refusal to write you off, it's also okay, let's start again. New opportunities, new possibilities. It may not be that Jesus asks you to do what God asked Abraham to do and move to a new place. It may not be that you've got to build a boat like Noah. It may not be that you've got to lead people like Moses or Peter, but there will always be new opportunities to serve him, new opportunities to tell people about him, new opportunities perhaps even to admit to others, look, I failed, but he's reinstated me. He's given me a fresh start. He can give that to you too. Jesus doesn't condone our sin, our failure, but he doesn't condemn. And he always offers forgiveness. He's ready with a fresh start. It's waiting for you, just like he was waiting on the beach. And it's renewal, refreshment that he offers. And he offers us always the opportunity to know more about him, to discover more of him. John, the writer of this gospel, says, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And then a little further on, this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And we then move on. And hold on. Jesus raised from the dead? This was only the third occasion when Jesus had met his followers after he'd been raised from the dead. But everything had changed for them. Because they were discovering what it meant when Jesus was saying to them, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. They were discovering that God is the God of fresh starts that's proved in the resurrection of Jesus. They were discovering that this Jesus who was reinstating Peter wasn't just saying, there, friend, it's all right. He was saying, I forgive you. You are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. And it's the same for you and for me. And Peter and the other disciples could then spend the rest of their lives trying to discover more and more about Jesus. You and I could spend time reading the Bible every day for the rest of our lives, however long that is, and every day God's Spirit would speak to you through it. I love the phrase that John finishes his gospel with. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have room for the books that will be written. There's always more for us to discover about Jesus. You could read your Bible every day for the rest of your life and find out something new every day, and you can take that as a challenge if you like. Try it. Peter was desperate for that fresh start, wasn't he? He'd blown it big time in the courtyard on the night of Jesus' arrest and trial. So desperate to put things right that he literally went overboard. Not quite sure why he put his clothes on to jump in. Maybe it's because it was cold. The other time he'd stepped out of the boat, he'd walked across the water. I don't think he expected to walk this time. But it didn't matter. He just desperately needed to get to the shore. He desperately needed to see Jesus. How desperate are you for a fresh start? At the end of the encounter, Peter's attention wandered, didn't it? He'd spent time talking with Jesus, and Jesus had reinstated him, and then out of the corner of his eye, he noticed that John was following, and he said, Jesus, what about him? And Jesus' response was, never mind about him. Concentrate on yourself first. And I wonder if sometimes we think about other people. Maybe even this morning you're listening to what I'm saying and you're thinking, well, I hope so-and-so is listening. Or I hope so-and-so hears this on if it's recorded. Never mind about them. What about you? What's Jesus saying to you? Is he asking you that question? Do you love me? Do you need a fresh start? He's waiting for you to respond. What do you need to sort out with him this morning? He gives us his Spirit to help reveal that to us, to show us, to help us to receive his forgiveness and to begin that process of being released from guilt, starting again. We all need to make fresh starts with Jesus. Sadly, we know the truth of that, don't we? We all mess up. We all let him down. It's a regular, frequent occurrence. But slowly and surely, God's Spirit is at work within us, changing us. The word that Paul uses when he talks about this is very similar to the word that we have for a butterfly coming out of a chrysalis, metamorphosis. Transformation. The caterpillar that went into the chrysalis is not the same as when they came out. And when God's Spirit is at work in us, he changes us. We are not the same. Maybe you need to allow God's Spirit to help you to break out of the chrysalis and take flight. I don't know how many fresh starts you'll need this year. But Jesus is there offering them all the time. He's always the one on the beach having made breakfast ready for you. The one who will reinstate. Who will give you new things to do. And maybe for you, part of your fresh start is to take on some new role in the church. We heard this morning about the need for deacons. Or maybe there's other things that God wants you to do. Maybe beyond the walls of the church, conversations he wants you to have with somebody where you work or in your home about him. Jesus always offers fresh starts. The only question is, will we take it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in our imagination, we see you stood beside the beach, fire crackling, fish grilling, and simply the invitation to respond to the question, do you love me? Do you truly love me? And Jesus, as we respond to that, we thank you that you offer us fresh starts. We thank you that you offer us forgiveness, and we ask for that again now, even now, for those things that we have said and thought and done that we know have separated us from you. Lord Jesus, give us your Spirit afresh today to help us to receive that forgiveness, to help us to put right what needs to be put right, to help us to let go of guilt and shame, and to help transform us, change us, so that we might slowly but surely become more and more like the people you have created us to become. And Jesus, if in these fresh starts that you give us today, there are new things you would have us do, we ask that your Spirit will give us the courage to do that, to step forward, to talk to people on your behalf, to be your hands and your feet and your voice for those who also need a fresh start with you. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that your love for us is everlasting, limitless. Thank you that your grace extends so far that we can constantly seek fresh starts. We don't want to keep needing them, but we thank you that you are ready for us. So equip us this morning as we go from this place to start afresh with you. Amen.